from you guys. I feel like I need to move a little closer. I'm going to walk the aisles in a minute, so don't worry. And it's so good to be here with you. Always a joy and a privilege to be down here with you guys. Want you to know how much we are praying for you and how much we think about you guys as our sister church in the Lord. And we are praying for you in your search for an associate pastor. And would invite you actually to pray for us, to continue to pray for one of our families, one of our Congolese families who lost their son, Milo Mukindi, on last week. We just had the funeral on Monday. So would ask that you continue to pray for the Mukindi family, that the Lord would meet them in this time and that he would be with them to comfort and to heal them. So they need your prayers in that way. So I would invite you to pray for them. And then I want to pray for us as we prepare to listen and hear from God's word. So let's pray. God, we give you praise and thanks and glory and honor because you are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. You are our King and our Lord. We worship you. And we want, Lord God, as we look together at your word, for you to continue to do that work in us, of making us more like your Son and our Lord Jesus Christ. So we pray this morning, Lord, open our hearts to hear and to receive what you have to speak to us this morning. We pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Tony Miles, and I am the associate pastor at New City in University City. And I've been here now for 6 years, going on seven. So it's been a joy to be here, and I'm grateful to be with you guys this morning. I want to share with you a word from Mark chapter 5, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 20. This is a story that's grabbed my own heart here, and I just want to share with you what the Lord speaks to us here. We just sang several songs that talk about the power of Jesus, right? The power of Jesus to break chains, the Lord who is mighty to save. And I don't know if they were preparing, if when they were preparing the songs, they knew what I would be preaching about. But I am actually preaching this morning about the power of Jesus and the power of the kingdom of God. So let's look this morning at Mark chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord. They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart, and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. So night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him, and crying out with a loud voice, he said, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me." For he was saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. And they begged him, saying, "Send us into the pigs, let us enter them." And so he gave them permission. The unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs, and the herd, numbering 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the sea. And the herdsmen fled and told it to the city and in the country. The people came to see what it was that had happened. They came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had the legion, sitting there, clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who had seen it described to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs. And they began to beg Jesus to depart from their region. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed with demons begged him that he might be with him. And he did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And everyone marveled. Should all the hosts of death and powers of hell unknown put their most dreadful forms of rage and mischief on. I shall be safe, for Christ displays his conquering power and guardian grace. His conquering power and guardian grace. Of course, the reason that we can have confidence in the face of all the forces of death and hell, the reason that we can be steadfast in the face of evil of every kind, is because of the conquering power and guardian grace of our Lord Jesus. The kingdom of God is humble, right? We talk a lot here at New City about the humility of the kingdom, about the fact that the kingdom starts like a mustard seed and grows, that it starts in a seemingly insignificant and small way. It is a humble kingdom. But can I tell you this morning that the kingdom of God in its humility is also a powerful kingdom. That the kingdom of God is also the powerful kingdom that breaks every chain. It's more powerful than all the forces of evil in this world. The kingdom over which Jesus rules and reigns, this kingdom, brothers and sisters, that you and I are in, this kingdom is a powerful kingdom. It's more powerful than all the forces of evil. And in the kingdom of God over which Jesus rules and reigns, Satan and the evil forces of this world have not only met their match, they have met their defeat. Amen? Satan is like a roaring lion, right? But Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. Satan is the ruler of the kingdom of the power of the air that is at work in behind much of the evil that is in this world. But Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, don't hear what I'm not saying. Evil is real. And the influence of evil and the evil one and his evil ones in this world is very real. No matter how much we like to attribute the evil and brokenness to this world, no matter how much we like to attribute all of it to human or natural causes, the Bible teaches us that there is supernatural forces at work behind much of the evil that goes on in the world. And that's why every time the kingdom of God comes up against the kingdom of darkness, guess what happens? The kingdom of God always wins out. Amen? So when God's kingdom comes, it pushes back against the kingdom of darkness to bring God's life into all of those places where the evil one has worked death. And so Mark, over and over and over again in these stories, shows us Jesus in conflict with the kingdom of darkness. And he shows us Jesus in conflict with the kingdom of darkness because he wants us to have confidence and faith that as we come up against the evil in ourselves, as we come up against the evil that is in our neighborhoods, as we come up against the evil that is in the world, we will not lose faith, but that we would know and have great confidence in the face of all of that evil that the kingdom of God will advance in this world. Every time his kingdom comes up against the kingdom of darkness, Jesus' kingdom, the kingdom that you and I are a part of, that kingdom wins out. Now, that truth is meant to work in each of us this very, very deep confidence and faith that ultimately the kingdom of God will triumph over the kingdom of darkness. Now, we see a lot of evil in the world, don't we? Do you see evil on the inside of you? Do you see evil sometimes in your families? Do you see evil in your neighborhoods? Do you see evil as you look out into the world? Amen. We see a lot of evil, right? And in the face of that evil, sometimes we can actually be undone. We can actually think that the evil is actually winning, don't you? Sometimes you think the evil is winning in you. Sometimes you think it's winning in your family. Sometimes it looks like it's winning in your neighborhood. It looks like it's winning in the world. And you can look at all of that evil and you can say, my God, is the kingdom of God really real? Because every time I look up, I see my own brokenness. I see the brokenness of my family. I see the brokenness of my neighborhoods. I see the brokenness that it's in the world. And I'm undone. But these stories are meant to encourage us and to give us hope and confidence in the face of that evil, to give us confidence of Jesus's commitment to work against it and of Jesus's commitment to establish his kingdom in this world, right in the face of all of that evil and brokenness. And so Jesus's healing of this man actually shows us how that kingdom triumphs over the kingdom of darkness. And so I want to just share with you this morning through this story how this kingdom of God that you and I are a part of, over which Jesus rules, how that kingdom actually triumphs over the kingdom of darkness. And first of all, it triumphs because it rescues people from that oppression. It rescues people from the darkness. Mark, in recounting the story of Jesus' healing of this man, doesn't want us to miss the desperate condition that this man was in. Here was this man created in the image and after the likeness of God, who had had that image radically distorted by the possession of these demons. He's given to violence, which has made him a terror to the community around him. His violent nature and the inability of the community to do anything about it has led to the removal of the community. So he's been set out of the community. He's been driven to a place that matches actually his own condition. One of the commentators actually says that the tombs were not just places where they buried the dead. They were also places where the poorest of the poor actually would live, because these were caves that in some cases were abandoned. And so the poorest of the poor of the community would live in these abandoned tombs. And so here he is in this desperate situation among the poorest of the poor, and his desperate condition is heightened. He was so miserable that he was seen by people both in and around the tombs, and perhaps some of the people who had driven him away. He was seen by them night and day. Doing what? Screaming at the top of his lungs and cutting himself with stones. And no doubt the cutting of himself was an attempt to end the misery and the agony that he was in as a result of this possession. He's in a desperate situation. And then Jesus shows up. Aren't you glad when Jesus shows up? Aren't you glad that when evil seems at its worst, when all attempts to actually put it down have failed, aren't you glad that the one who breaks chains shows up? Aren't you glad that the one who calms seas shows up? Aren't you glad that the one who says all power and authority has been given to me in heaven and earth? Aren't you glad that when evil is present in you, in your family, in the neighborhood, in the world, aren't you glad that the Messiah shows up with all of that power to break that evil influence? And if you ain't glad about it, you ought to be glad. And the reason you ought to be glad is because that same power is what set you free. It's what has you here this morning listening to me preach the word of God, because Jesus came when you were bound and he set you free. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. And then we say, don't we? Satan had me bound. But Jesus, Satan had me bound. But Jesus, Satan had me bound. But Jesus set me free. And when Jesus is truly present, evil knows it's in trouble. So this demon sees Jesus from a long ways off. He knows that his end has come. So this man possessed by this evil spirit, he runs to Jesus. He cries out for mercy, but not because, of course, this demon loves God, but because he knows that his end has actually come, right? He's held this man for a time, but now the Lord has come to set him free. And I know it. I know. You see evil that is in the world, or even the evil that is in your own family and neighborhood. And I know it seems like it will always be that way sometimes, doesn't it? Doesn't it? You know, you were just talking about the shooting deaths and the violence that goes in our city. Doesn't it seem to you sometimes like it will always be this way. Nothing will ever change. We'll keep going through this cycle over and over and over and over. Doesn't it feel that way? And don't you wake up some mornings and look at yourself in the mirror and say, I will never change. Right? I will always be a mess. But I want to tell you this morning, evil is real, but it's not ultimate. It has an expiration date. And glory be to God, that expiration date is ultimately the return of our Lord to this world. But even in this life, over and over and over again, we will get to see Jesus show up and set people free. That's what Mark wants us to know and believe. And that's why he sets this image before us in verse 15. The man who could not be bound because of his violence, the man who was screaming in agony under this evil influence, the man who was cutting himself to release himself from that agony, the man who was oppressed is now seen sitting there, the text says, clothed and in his right mind. This is what the power of the kingdom of God can do. It can set people free. Can I tell you that the kingdom of God can set some of the young men and women who are shooting each other in our streets? Can I tell you the kingdom of God is powerful enough to set them free? Can I tell you that whatever brokenness is in you, that the kingdom of God is powerful enough to set you free? Can I tell you that the kingdom of God is actually able to set free some of those folk who right now are racist? Do you believe it? Or are we just playing? Or is the kingdom of God really powerful enough to do what it says it can do? Amen, people of God? So I want to ask you this morning, where do you feel the evil one or evil pressing in on you or around you? Let me encourage you to ask God to show you how to make the power of his kingdom known where you feel and see that presence of evil. Let me encourage you to ask the Lord to show you what righteousness, what love, what kindness, what mercy, what goodness of his kingdom he wants you to pursue that will actually push back against the influence of evil. Can I encourage you this morning not to just give in to the reality of evil and declare the situation hopeless? Can I encourage you this morning to cry out to God and ask him to show you how to make the power of the kingdom of God known? It may just be that God wants you to endure. It may just be that God wants you to give. It may just be that God wants you to speak kindness. It may be that God wants you to show mercy. It may be that God wants you to show love. It may be that God wants you to forgive. But whatever aspect of his kingdom that needs to be present in the face of that evil, guess what you can ask God to do? Give me your spirit to make known the power of your kingdom. I want to encourage you this morning not to just surrender to the influence of the evil one, but to push back with acts of righteousness, to push back with love, to push back with prayer, to push back with mercy, to push back with forgiveness and kindness, to push back by giving away your resources, to push back by demonstrating the kingdom of God. Evil, brothers and sisters, is not ultimate. The kingdom of God will advance in this world. Amen. The kingdom shows its power by setting people free from oppression to the kingdom of darkness. But it also shows its power, we see in this story, by exposing our idolatry to the things of this world. Now, you would think, right, that having seen this great display of God's power, that the townspeople would have responded by putting their faith in Jesus, right? In his kingdom. They just seen this man who was oppressed by a demon. This man that they could not bind with chains. This man that they had to put out of their community. community because he was so violent, is now sitting there clothed and in his right mind. And you would think that they would see that and they would say, oh my God, we've never seen anything like this. This must be the kingdom of God. But that's not what they do. They are filled with fear, but they're not filled with faith. Indeed, it's worse than that. They actually asked Jesus politely if he would leave. Right? I mean, just think about this. It's like, hey, Jesus, is it? We're going to have to ask you to leave if you don't mind. That was a great display of power. But we're going to have to ask you to leave. Keep up the good work. Have a nice day. And of course, you know the reason that they send him away, right? Why do they send him away? Well, these folk were likely Gentiles, and they were pig farmers, and they made their livelihood through these pigs. And when Jesus sends the legion of demons into the pigs, and they all go rushing down to the sea and drown, guess what else just drowned? In the sea. What? All of their money just went rushing down the hillside into the sea. You see, the confrontation between the kingdom of God brought by Jesus and the kingdom of darkness always exposes the idols of our culture, the things we cling so desperately to. And Jesus has come both to drive out the evil, and he's also come to expose our idols, which also lead us into evil. Can I tell you, it's true that a huge part of the reason the town tried to bind this man with chains was because he was violent. And amen, you don't want to see someone hurting people or hurting themselves. But I want to suggest to you that another reason was because he was interfering with the economy of the town. Can I ask you a question? Who wants to come to a town with a man like this man, who's out of his mind, who can't be controlled? So what do we do with people like that? We find another place to put them. Right? We find somewhere to put them where they're, let me put it like this, out of sight and out of mind. And in our day, I'm going to get myself in trouble a little bit here, we build highways to find ways to get around having to deal with those folk. Right? So we put those people. I'm not going to get it. We put them in certain places in the city where we don't have to deal with them. Or we put them in slums where we don't have to deal with them. Because after all, when you're going to get your drink of Starbucks coffee, the last thing you want to do is walk across a man like this. Right? Let's just send him over there where he won't bother us or interfere with our enterprise. You notice in this story that it never said that the people in the town tried to help this man. It only said they tried to do what? They tried to bind him with chains. We need to make money. And he's making the making of money extremely difficult. Right? Can I ask you a question? Do you think Jesus is unaware that this is these people's livelihood when he sends these demons into these pigs? Right? How many times has Jesus cast out demons in these stories? Right? Countless times. Have you ever heard of Jesus sending the demons into anything? No. By the way, I'm a black preacher. This is like not rhetorical. It's an actual question. Have you ever, right? It's not a rhetorical question. It's an actual question. Okay. He's healed many people of demons, right? Have you ever heard of him sending the demons into anything? No. This is the one story where he does. Why? Because he wants to make a point. And that point is that our idols are not more important to him than seeing people set free. I want to tell you this morning that Jesus will lovingly say to us, I don't care about your money. I don't care about your politics. I don't care about your Starbucks coffee. I don't care about your plush houses. I don't care about your golf outings. I don't care about any of that. I care about salvation, justice, mercy, compassion, and the like. Now, amen, God showers us with good things. He does. But when those things trump setting the desperate, the marginalized, the oppressed free, can I tell you Jesus is not pleased? And can I tell you what Jesus will do when we cling to those things more than we do seeing people set free by the power of his kingdom? Can I tell you what Jesus will do with all of your idols? Can I tell you what he will do with them? He will send them rushing into the sea to be drowned. Why? Not because he's being mean to you, but because he wants you to understand that the nature of his kingdom is about setting people free. And when your idols get in the way of that, guess what he does with them? He tears them down. So don't be surprised if when we cling to those things, we find Jesus tearing them down. Amen, people of God. I want you to realize that the thing that the Jews clung to most desperately with just in a few decades of the writing of this gospel be torn down. And what was the thing that the Jews clung most desperately to as a people? What was their idol? Huh? Somebody said it. The temple. What happened to the temple of God? It was destroyed. Because it had ceased to be a place of worship and mercy and justice and righteousness and compassion. And here's what God does with all of our idols. He tears them down. So here's my question for you. What are you clinging to that the presence of the kingdom of God is exposing? Or maybe ask the question this way. What are you afraid that the presence of the kingdom of God might call you to let go of? I'm convinced that we want the kingdom until it starts messing with our idols. We want the kingdom until it starts shaking our political views of the world. We want the kingdom until it starts messing with our economic stability. We want the kingdom until it starts messing with our social life. We want the kingdom until it starts messing with our children's lives. We want the kingdom until it starts messing with our career success. We want the kingdom until it starts shaking our idols. And one of the things that the kingdom does when it comes is it exposes all of your idols. And what Jesus does with all of your idols, what he has come to do with every single one of them, is to tear them down. You know why? That the power of the kingdom of God might be made known in you. That the power of the kingdom of God might be made known through you. That the power of the kingdom of God might be present in this world to set people free. And that can't happen if you're clinging to your idols. So glory be to God. He comes and he tears them down. And if we're honest, there are places that Jesus' kingdom is shaking our lives and our idols. And if we could, we would ask Jesus to leave that area of our lives. Right? You know, it's like, you know, we say to Jesus, come into my heart. Jesus, sit on the furniture of my life. Just don't move it around. Right? You ever heard? Jesus, come take the throne of my heart. Right? Just don't mess with all the other little thrones that I've set up around that throne. Right? So what are you clinging to that the presence of the kingdom of God is exposing? Ask God to uproot whatever it is and replace it with his kingdom purposes. Amen, people of God. The last thing here. The power of the kingdom of God is present when we see people being set free from the kingdom of darkness, idols being exposed. The power of the kingdom of God exposes our idols. But the power of the kingdom of God also makes us witnesses to that kingdom. Amen. God longs for those whom he rescues from the evil one and the evil of this world to respond in the way that this man from the Gerasenes responded. This man who had been for some time bound up under the kingdom of darkness, when he is set free, he offers his life to Jesus as a disciple, right? He goes to Jesus, let me go with you. And Mark tells us that the man begged Jesus that he might go with him. He had seen what the kingdom of God had come to do in this world. He had tasted what the kingdom of God had to offer. And having tasted the other kingdoms, he was ready now to fully give his life over to Jesus and follow him. He wanted to go and help Jesus tell the story of the coming of this kingdom. I'm going to tell you that God is calling us to be like this man. Part of the point of this final picture is to remind us of what each of us, having been set free, are meant to do with our lives now. We're meant to give those lives set free by Jesus to advance the work of his kingdom in this world. And even though Jesus doesn't allow this man to come with him, he tells him to do something else. And it's really striking. What does he tell him to do? He wants to go with Jesus. He wants to go and tell the story to other people groups and other nations, right? He wants to go with Jesus and tell the story. What does Jesus tell him to do? Go home. What is home to this man? Home is the place where he was rejected. Home is the place where he was bound up with chains. Home is the place where he was sent to the tombs. Jesus says, now that I've set you free, I want you to go tell all of those people about the power of my kingdom to set them free. You see what Jesus does with this man? He turns him into a witness to his own community of the power of the kingdom of God to set people free. Now watch what I'm going to do with you. How many of you, for whom telling the story of the gospel to your families is a very difficult, hard situation? Right? You want to tell the story to them, and every time you start talking about the kingdom of God, and every time you start talking about reconciliation, and every time you start talking about the power of the gospel come to set the poor free, every time you start, I know y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Every time you start talking about reconciliation, every time you start talking about these issues, people start doing what? Oh, Lord. Right? Right? You know what some of you've done? You've stopped telling the story. Right? You stop telling the story. And you know why you stop telling the story? Because you don't want to be, I just don't, not today. You're sitting around the table, and the gospel comes up. You know what you do? You hold it in. You know why? Because you don't want to do it. You don't want to get into it this time. You know how I know that? Because that happens to me all the time. Can I tell you what Jesus was doing with this man? He was setting him free to become a witness of the gospel and of what the power of God can do in the world. And can I tell you something? That's what Jesus has set every single one of us free to do. to make it known. And for some of you, that actually does mean making it known to your families. For some of you, it means making it known to neighbors. For others of you, it means making it known to somebody outside of your culture. Right? But God has set you free to be a witness. Amen. Now, amen. You don't have to be preachy about it. Right? When you tell the story. Right? You don't want people running inside their houses, shutting the door when they see you coming. Right? Oh, Lord, there goes Pastor Tony again. He's going to tell me about the gospel. Right? But can I tell you what he set you free to do? Tell the story. Tell the story. And is it going to cost you something? Yeah, it's going to cost you. But what does he set you free for? To tell the story. Amen, people of God. Amen. The power of the gospel, the power of the kingdom of God has come to set us free from the darkness that is in this world. It's come to expose our idols and set us free from them. And it's come to make us witnesses of the kingdom of God in this world. Amen. God bless us. God bless us to receive that power of the kingdom. Let's stand. Let's form a circle together. Let's share the Lord's Supper. To his disciples that were gathered together at that final meal, his disciples who Jesus was sending into the world, his disciples who were going to confront their own brokenness and sin, who are also going to confront the evil that is in the world, they needed a power beyond themselves, and they needed a salvation that they could not accomplish themselves. And so on the night he was betrayed, Jesus, sitting with them, took bread and he broke it. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this as often as you eat it in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Drink it, all of you, in remembrance of me. Those of you who have your faith in Jesus Christ, these elements are for you. As a strengthening to your faith, to remind you again of the power of the kingdom of God, the power of the gospel at work through Jesus Christ and at work in you because of Jesus Christ. Eat this bread, drink this cup, and be filled. If you're with us this morning, you're among us, your faith is not in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're just so delighted that you're here. We're so glad to have you among us. We pray for you. That God's word would grab a hold of your heart, that you would put your faith in Jesus Christ the Lord. If that's not where you are right now, it's okay. We're just glad you're among us. You can let these elements pass you by. These are for those who have their faith in Jesus Christ the Lord. No one will condemn you or judge you. But for you who have your faith in him, eat this bread, drink this cup, and be filled.